we're going to be actually looking at one of the aspects we started to look at last week. We looked at unity, what it means to be a people of unity, what it means to be a people who are worshipful in our lives, and what it means to be a people on mission. Today, we're going to take the first one of those, unity. What does it mean to be completely in unity with Christ and with one another? And we're going to be looking at John 15. John 15, where Jesus says some very powerful words. He believes it, and he wants us to. In John 15, he says in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. It's like he sets out the cast of the story. Jesus is the vine. Okay, no one else can be the vine now. You know when you had school plays? Like once someone has been picked for the part, you can't have two people, can you? It's awkward. It's defining. It's a moment. But it's there. Jesus is the vine. He got picked for the part of the vine. That's it. He's done. The Father is the vine dresser, is the gardener, as we might say in our language. I am the vine and you are the branches. Oh, we've got a part. Yes. I'm in. I'm not just a tree. I am part of the vine. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Wow, there's like a lot in here. And we're going to go through John 15 and understand this a bit more. But I want you to hear the sort of Hollywood statements of Jesus, where the one-liners, where he's very clear about who's who and what we do. And what happens if we're apart from him? I think it's great that we start a year and have a set out Sunday and have aspirations and heart-driven prayer around what God's going to do. But all too many times, people try to do it in their own effort. And so for us to hear as a church today, actually apart from you, we can't do a thing. Jesus, we're not going to run off and try and do the mission for you. We're not going to try and run off and fix everything that you're wanting to get to. We want to just remain in you and live out what God's called us to. Jesus is making very clear here to his disciples in John 15. He's saying the vine needs a lot of things from the vine dresser, from the gardener, the vine. Jesus and his relationship with the Father. As we read this, I want you to hear Jesus and his relationship with the Father, how the Father cares for the vine and the vine cares for the Father, for the gardener. They have intrinsic relationship. But then our relationship, that if Jesus is the vine, the center of it all, as Dave has helped us with this morning, that are we okay with not being the center of it all, number one, and being the branches, the ones who extend from the vine, the ones who come out from the true vine, and apart from him can do nothing but be fruitful if we are with him. It's really simple, really, isn't it? I could stop now. Everybody got it? One person, excellent. Okay, we're going to go a bit deeper. Because the branches need the vine, friends. As much as the vine needs the branches need the vine. And as much as the vine needs the Father or the gardener, we need that vine. The vine supplies. The gardener prepares. He prunes, he lifts, he cleans, he removes. I'm just going to get Trina to bring up my little prop down there. Now, this is a vine from my backyard. Okay? There's actually two branches intertwined here. I'm going to take them out. There you go. There's a little one like that, little new branch, and there's a big one that has just started to bear fruit, right? Other way. You want it that way? Okay. You can do it if you like. The reality of these branches is they are full with the possibility and the potential of life and fruit. They're full of it when they are in the vine. Right now, they are sitting apart from the vine, okay? And so we, each of us, are born into families on this earth. We carry a life that God has given us, and we have a family line, and we have a connection with where we have been born into and out of. And sometimes it's very hard to get free of that, even if you love it or you hate it. But let me tell you, when we give our lives, our branch, over to the King of Kings, what he does is he actually takes this branch, this is what the Father does, and he grafts it in. He snips it there off of your family line and brings you into his family line, into the vine. He makes a shape there just for you, puts it in, binds it together, and you will grow. Remarkable. Now, we have some vine dressers here, so they know the truth of this, right? Now, this moment is what we call salvation. It's what we call redemption and what we call the opportunity for regeneration. That what was in your family line has now been put into his line and becomes who he is. It changes. It is transformed. It is full of life. Not just life that we've been given on this earth, but eternal life. And it flows to everyone else. This is what Jesus was looking at with his disciples. Maybe they were walking along the road and there was a vine to the left or right of them. Maybe there was a new vineyard. They were looking at this and Jesus was talking. And he says to them along the way, and we're going to go to the scripture, John 15. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. That means responsible for care. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean, that means pruned, because of the word that I have spoken to you. Jesus' word prunes us, cleans us, cleanses us, readies us for fruitfulness. Isn't that amazing? Abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now he starts talking about this relationship he has with the Father. I am the vine and you are the branches, but whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that withers and the branches gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You see, Jesus is starting to talk about the power of the love that flows when we're grafted in, when we are abiding in God. The word abide means things like await, remain, lodge, sojourn, dwell, continue, endure, be kept or held in a place. All of those words. Did you catch them? Await, remain, lodge, sojourn, dwell, continue, endure, be kept or held. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, verse 7 says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is really interesting because he's saying if we align with our asking, if our ask aligns with his word, he will deliver it to us and through us. In verse 8 he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and so that your joy may be full. Now, one of the biggest moments in Scripture, he says in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I've commanded. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. From all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. That's what he's saying. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I commanded you so that you would love one another. Now, this is a powerful piece of scripture that we need to just come to saying, hey, God, what are you actually saying here? He's talking, of course, not about a vine, but about a metaphor. A metaphor of what it will look like for Jesus to walk with his people and what his people will do beyond the moment of his death and resurrection. He's talking to the disciples and he's saying, you need to get this now. Before things get a little hairy, a little bit freaky, before you realize that I'm going to actually die on a cross and be raised from the dead and have all sorts of moments, I need you to understand that you're a part of me. And Jesus is saying this, he's really talking about the first missional community. He's saying to them, do you understand, guys? This is about total dependence on Christ and healthy interdependence on one another. What is our world about at the moment, friends? Independence. What was the world that the disciples were in really about at that time? Self-righteousness, self-help, self-effort, self-earning, self-loathing, self-challenges. And Jesus says, hey, come with me, become selfless. Let me be your center and actually change it to total dependence on me. That's what Jesus was saying. And healthy dependence on those around you. I use the word healthy because there's actually weird interdependence that goes on in the world. But we're talking about healthy. What does it look like for the vine and the branches to coexist? And so as Jesus is walking past, he's like, here's the perfect picture. Here's the perfect picture. Jesus is the vine. The Father is the vine dresser. You are the branches. And of course, they would have been looking at something like this and going, what do branches do? They seem to be entwined. You know, the branches, even the older branches are entwined with the newer branches and help them grow. But the focus is actually, and the freedom and the glory is actually not on the vine, is it, most of the time? If you look across a vineyard, most of the time what you're looking for is the leafy green and the life and the fruit. So we are the display of the splendor of God. Does anybody see the Father? The Father's the one bringing nourishment. The Father's the one bringing care. He's out there pruning. He's lifting vines that have become heavy or broken. He's putting things back together. He's lifting, shifting. He's taking out anything that's going to be unhelpful for the vine's life. But be completely aware what Jesus was saying was, you are to be entirely dependent on me and the Father. And you are to be interdependent on one another. You will help be alongside one another. You know, in the wild, if you like, vines that are pruned and those sort of things, they don't have the trestles that we see across vineyards. They don't have the wires and the strings. And yet their own inherent structure holds them together. And if they're pruned and the light gets to everyone because they're pruned and shaped and the things they don't need are taken away, the burnt off leaves. You know, some of the vine that I was looking at home had burnt leaves because it had touched the fire yesterday, 38 degrees. It was hanging in the wrong spot. We can tell when we've hit the fire, when we've touched something that we shouldn't have, that we've been in exposure of something we shouldn't have. And that's got to go. That's going to die. That part's going to be taken away from us. But the Father wants us to be flooding with the life that God has. A missional community is one that is totally dependent on Christ. To this point, the disciples had walked with Jesus. They felt all the benefits of that, but yet they hadn't got the full benefit yet of knowing what it was like to walk with Jesus' relationship with the Father. The good news was that there was something happening. In our community here, you know, we get an opportunity week by week to have rhythms of connection. What do? They actually give us an opportunity to say, hey, we share this gospel union. We share in the same thing. Hey, I've become part of the vine too. And some of us are rubbing up next to each other and that, you know, can affect things and there can be all sorts of challenges, but it's like we're just trying to grow. And branches don't need to tell other branches what to do. We've got the Father. It's awesome, isn't it? The Father will come. We can ask the Father. If you've got a problem with someone else in the vine who's coming and they'll run to the other branches, just say, Father, what do I need? You know, sometimes when we're fasting and praying, it's interesting how things shift, isn't it? We start with all the praying for all the problems around the world, and then we end up with the problems that are going on with our world. And Jesus is like, actually, I want to do some work in you and through you. I want to bring you what you need. And the Father's like, I would like to just adjust a couple of things if I could. Then I'll make room for everyone. Amazing, isn't it? But there's a rhythm of connection. Why do we come together? Because we want to be genuinely connected. We want to be genuinely sharing this gospel union. It should be the number one thing we talk about when we come together. How good is this? We are part of the family of God. We have communion tables set up. How good is it that we can come together and do something that's specifically, absolutely required, but absolutely exclusively for those who believe in Jesus? Isn't it amazing? And what other club do you go to? Do they, you know, break bread and talk about what Jesus has done for them. Of course, we're not a club, we're a missional community, but that's what we do. And this symbolizes the rhythm of union we have with God, that He is supplying something to us. We take that bread and that cup. It's a big moment. It's like saying, God, I remember what you've done. I remember who I am in you. I remember. I hope that from today onwards, every time you see the communion cup and that little piece of bread or cracker, that you think about the union you have with God through the vine. Because that's what he was talking about. There is a rhythm of response that happens in us. We start to have deeper faith. Things start to happen deeply in us. When we are grafted into Jesus, Jesus is now supplying everything. He's now delivering what's needed, and we're releasing him to. Things happen deeply in us and we're not controlling it. We're just trying to allow it. We're available for it. And we want to talk about what God does in us as faith develops in us. God is doing something in my life. This is transforming me in this way. And I know that it is going to be fruitful. We share the gospel life. When we see that first fruit come out, you know, the first little fruit, there's something about, yes, Lord, you've done this in my life. And instead of going, hey, that's the only fruit I'm ever going to bear for my life, I better put that in the cabinet, put it on a shelf, and say that's the trophy of when Jesus once bore fruit in my life. We need to say, there's more coming. You can't stop this once it's started if we remain in Christ. It's not if, it's when. And we go through all sorts of seasons. And of course, those who are vine dressers here know that produces all sorts of grapes. And some of the toughest seasons produce the best vintage. Amen? It's hard to say amen to that one, isn't it? The reality is that God wants us to be a missional community that shares in these things, is together in these things, is entwined with Christ, but then entwined with one another, that we bear the structural reality of being able to hold one another up when needed, as the Father defines, and deliver the fruit that He's intended. He wants us to last, remain, because the fruit's coming. What it's talking about is the harmony we have in Christ. There is this word harmony. What happens when God's life starts flowing through us is peace comes. Anxiety's gone. Abandonment's dealt with because we've been grafted in. And apathy, now we can't even be apathetic because we're producing what God is doing in us. God's life is in us. Even when we don't have any energy at all, we can turn to the Spirit of God and say, God, what are you doing today? Rush of eternal life that flows in, through, and out of us, bearing fruit every day. What is this fruit we're talking about? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience, peace, all the things that affect the world around us. We are the display of His splendor. We don't work it up, it's working its way out. Isn't that good news? This harmony that we have in Christ is so different to the hostility we once had in our hearts towards everything and everyone. It was put there by sin and guilt and shame and not being able to measure up and trying to work this all out and self-effort and having to force rather than be fruitful. Suddenly we are free of that. And now we're in harmony with God and one another. And it's shown by His love, the power of God's love. That's what John 15 is talking about. This is the power of God's love to transform us into those who are different. If you hear these words in verse 7, as it talks about aligning our asking, prayer, powerful prayer, prayerful power, await the word of God. We await the word of God. Whatever you want to say, Lord, is what I'm taking, and it is what's happening. I'm going to pray what you're saying. What you're saying over my life, what you're saying over others' lives, it changes our dialect. Prayer is the power of love exponentially released. When you say, Lord, I forgive that person, power of love. When you say, Lord, I pray that that person would prosper, exponential power goes out from you as you agree and align. And God's like, I'm on that. I'm on that. I can do that. That's who I am. If you pray, I need a red Ferrari. Maybe you're on Beast Games. Purposeful love is something that comes from God. Not just, I have to do this, the duty. You know, in many families, and this is not a criticism, but it's just the reality, we grow up in families, in the family vine, there's a lot of duty. Well, these are the people I've been put with, I have to love them. This is what has to happen. Unless the agape love of God is with us and helps us to love people. That sometimes can be unlovable. I get it. I'm not lovable all the time. There's a few moments. Most times. Most days. But remaining fruitful is incredibly important. Actually, purposeful loving will tell you, I'm actually doing this on purpose. I'm actually loving because God has loved me, as Beanie was saying before out of 1 John, and I'm actually going to remain fruitful in the face of anything. Because when the love of God is flowing through you, you are delivering fruit even if it's not quite there yet. Practicing love. Actually, to practice love, there's an enduring hold to Christ that's needed. When he says remain, I'm using different words because sometimes old words like abide don't make sense to us. But the reality is it's saying hold to Christ and let Christ hold you. That's what's happening in that moment when you've been grafted in. Hold to him and he holds to you and you grow. And the life of God binds you together, brings you together. Now, we have a mutual bond, you know. The branches, you know, they're independent of each other, but they are mutually bound to the same vine. They're mutually bound. It means we're together in this. Each one of us can say, hey, I don't need to borrow your relationship from God. I've got my own. However, I'm going to use this relationship to serve you, to love you. Because that is what Jesus is motivated by, that you would be full of joy and know the joy he has for loving one another. Jesus gets his joy from seeing that you would love one another. Isn't that amazing? If you want to make Jesus joyful, love one another in the way that he loved, because it means that everything that he's produced is getting through. It's delivering something different to the world. And we need to know this, friends, because partnering with joy means we are dwelling fully. We are fully alive. We are dwelling fully in his presence. We're just saying, we're a people of your presence. What does that mean? To dwell fully, understanding, conscious of, that you are connected with the vine 24/7. It's flowing even when you're not knowing, and God is doing it in you. Amen? So I'm getting a bit passionate because some people got a bit apathetic. They've forgotten that this is what we believe. Not that out there. This is what we believe. This isn't, Jesus says, this is not blind obedience. You're not just servants obeying me. You're not servants trying to do this out of duty. You are my friends. I have loved you and you love me. You do this because you love me, not out of duty. You've chosen this and I've shown you everything. And so you haven't made a blind decision to be obedient. Like the world says of Christians, oh, you're just being blindly obedient to the thing. You're just going around believing things that people are telling you. No, I'm believing what Jesus told me. I'm believing what Jesus has done in me. I'm believing what Jesus is working out of me. And that is known and shown. That is something different. Jesus is actually at work here. You know, set up the construction sign. Jesus at work. He's not going to go down to 40. Don't worry about it. Dwelling fully in God means there's something of his life ruminating, resonating in us all the time. You can't switch it off. This partnering joy that comes from him means that we've willingly chosen this. But then he says to the disciples, don't forget, I chose you first. I chose you first. You didn't get here first. I came and I chose you, and then you chose me. And that's how this is. And the things I've commanded you so that you would love one another. His whole command is so that we would love one another. That we get to pray, partnering with God, because this is what we're talking about. How do we partner with God? He plays the big part, we're playing the small part, but no question over our partnership is that when we pray, when we ask, we are letting the flow of God come through our lives with the objective of God, not to get something out of it for us, but to see others loved. And on the way through, we get hit by the love of God all over again. So the power of God is pray, obey, release what God's doing. Obey, release it. Don't hold it up for yourself. Imagine a vine that just stops short of letting any fruit come out. That's enough. Imagine a vine that says, actually, I've had enough vine, I've had enough goodness and nutrition and love today. I just want to feel a little bit more cut off. Ridiculous. The vine and the branches are there to bear fruit. It's a harmonious relationship. It has no doubt in what it's there for. The motivation is to be fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, power of the Holy Spirit in and through us. And to be the display to others. Hey, come and join the true vine. Let him take hold of you. Let him graft you in. You can be part of his family. You know, you'll serve your own families better from the true vine. Because it will be fruitful. But interestingly enough, I'm going to read this to you because I need to go there because so many messages finish, you know, at verse 17. But Jesus doesn't finish at verse 17 for his disciples. He's saying, when you are identified by me and dependent in me, there is good news. And we've just been talking about that. The good news of you get what he's given. You get what he's doing. You get everything that he's done. But when we read the next section, he's saying, but also you'll get from the world what happened to me. They're not going to understand it, friends. What you've got is hard to understand for someone who's never seen it. And so for a world that's living in hostility, an internal hostility and a hostility with one another, unless they see Jesus, they don't get it. They don't understand what you're plugged into. So let's read in verse 18 what Jesus says. Because I think it's sobering and it's helpful for us. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. It's okay. I've been there before. Jesus has been everywhere. To every temptation, to every challenge, to every hatred, and he still brought love. I've done this before, he says to us. And I know what to do about it. If you were of the world, because of course the disciples would think, what about the world in me? You know? If you were in the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. So there's encouragement there, but it's sort of a realness. It's saying, you know what? Just as you're identified with me in all the good bits, there's some bits that were really hard for me to walk out, and you're also, your identity is going to be in me for those. That not everybody's going to get this. That not everybody's going to love you because you love me. In fact, some people are going to be really jealous and hostile towards you because I chose you. They're working really hard to be something. They're where you were. They're self-effort, self, trying to deliver this. And then they're going to see that you just got pulled into Christ. And now you're flowing, and now you're fruitful. Hang on, you're more broken than I was. You see, the world has a moral order that is apart from God. Even in our society, it's a self-righteous driven one. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. We seek after a Christ-righteous reality of our living. You know, you just need to drive down the road and someone's trying to keep you accountable for something. Someone's trying to tell you what you're not doing right and how they're doing it better. It's all about comparison. It's all about how you look, how you are, how you have behaved, how you... Jesus is not looking at any of that. He's like, I know you can't do any of that right. So I'm going to do everything righteously. And then I'm going to invite you into my righteousness and you can walk with me. You can live with me. You can breathe. You can freely expend everything you have, knowing that it's going to be fruitful. Man, that's a difference. And so people don't like that. They're driven by fear rather than love, by lack rather than fullness, by culture rather than Christ. Big difference here, see? And sometimes, I've got to talk this to churches because we sometimes get tricked into thinking it's not that much different. It is entirely different who you were plugged into, who you were engaged with, and who you are receiving your life from. It is entirely different. And Jesus is saying, so not only that will they not love you a bit, they will not even hate you. And you've got to be able to deal with that with love. The same love, the same treatment. Persecution of the innocent. Even if you're entirely innocent, Jesus is like, and you get persecuted, Jesus goes, I know what that feels like. I've been there. The disciples had just been in the upper room and had one of the branches exit, Judas. He'd exited the room after 30 coins of silver. They'd just experienced this. This would have been pretty raw. And they weren't going, oh, you know, that was just Judas. He's just a bad egg. They were going, I could be a bad egg. And Jesus was saying, no, I've chosen you. You've chosen me, I've chosen you, and I've taken you out of that. And now you are under my engagement, my control, and what God is doing in your life. The love of self, righteousness, gets put aside, and now opposites repel. Sometimes you walk into an environment, you're like, why is everybody treating me in that way? Well, you are harmonized with Christ, and they're still hostile, friends. So we get to be actually understanding and aware. Where they are ignorant of who Jesus is and what he can do, you are aware, you are knowing, and so we have to be clearer to know, actually, I know what to do here. I know what's going on. And that helps. To know is peace, right? But he says in verse 21, but all these things they will do to you on account of my name. Because they do not know him who sent me, the Father. So there's something really important this about, not just knowing the vine, but knowing the gardener. Knowing the Father and how he treats the Son and then for how he treats us. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. Wow. See, people hate what they don't understand. We know that. So we really want them to understand the Jesus that's coming and bringing life to us and how he does it, because actually it brings us together. But ignorance does lead to rejection. He goes on to say in verse 24, if I had not done among the works that I did, they would not be guilty of sin. What he's talking about there is actually that Israel was the chosen vine. He said, this is the chosen people. This is how it's all meant to work out. It's meant to come through them. But they actually didn't live up to the calling. They didn't live up to it. And so what happened was then Jesus came. And he says, I'm the true vine. And so that all mankind, even the chosen people, Israel, rejected Jesus. Gentiles had rejected him. Jews had rejected him. Everyone had rejected him, so that everyone was guilty of actually rejecting him. So that when he died, no one could say, I'm not guilty. But actually we could say, we're all guilty. Thank you for loving us in the way you have. Otherwise his love wouldn't have had the power and purpose that it does. He loves us in that way. The good news in verse 26, he leaves us as he says, but when the helper comes, who's the helper? Whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. That word proceeds is a missional term. Goes out on a mission. Proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me, and you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. There's something about this enduring element that we are with him, we are in him, that the Holy Spirit will come and help us with what we don't know so we can understand how to follow him. But there is wider implications that are being talked about here. It's worldwide what God is doing. He's wanting this to affect every nation, tribe, and tongue. In verse 1 of 16, he says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. The terminology actually for that in the original text is when you are faced with an obstacle. To keep you, hold you, keep you held when you are faced with an obstacle. They will put you out of synagogues, excommunication. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think that he's offering a service to God. Delusional. People will become delusional. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, is going to remind us of things that only God has said. And when the true vine is the one who is delivering everything we need from his word, from the purity, from the power of what Jesus has said, then we have no question, no doubt, because we can receive from him. You see how much I'm using the word receive? Do you see how much we're really talking about remaining, holding fast. And do you see how much we're talking about reproduction, that God just seems to do that effortlessly? He reproduces himself in us and through us with just our surrender and availability. Active, willing, participation, partnering, but he does that. And it has the effect on a community of faith, on a missional community, on those coming in, of them feeling the love of God. As we just stand, hold, remain in him. I mean, it really messes up the whole missional idea that, you know, we got to run out here, there, and everywhere, doesn't it? My missional experience has been this, that on the general things I'm doing, on the way to whatever's planned for the day, as I give myself to Christ, I surrender what he's doing during the day, as we pray, as we're going to school, people come across our path that God has designed to engage. And I'm not actually zipping everywhere left and right looking missional. I'm not jumping over here or jumping. There's just people on the way. And when Jesus is flowing through us, our eyes pop open and we see them. And not only that, we see what they need. And then we see what we needed and we know what they need. And so some people are waiting for a lightning bolt moment. I'm sitting here waiting for God, and then bang, the lightning bolt will come, and then I'll become missional. That's not vine and branches, friends. Vine and branches says, I'm in this. It's already flowing. I can't switch it off. I can't turn it off when I walk, and as I go through my daily life, in whatever space I walk into, I am now available and ready that the fruit of God, his love, may engage that person. You see, the word sent, we were talking about the word sent last week. The word sent is a continual word. When we say we're made for mission, we put that word out, we are sent. We're already sent. It's an ongoing thing, wherever you are, sent one. Isn't that cool? Put that on your card, sent one. You're already sent. You're there for that moment at that time. So when you're in the shopping center, in the line, wondering why it's taking 25 minutes to get your groceries, and the person in front of you is standing there and just awaiting the power of God and the touch of what God is going to do, and you're like, gee, can we just move this line along a bit? Ask this question. I've been there. That's why I'm using the example. Just go, God, is there anything else you wanted to do today? Yeah, if you could just engage that person, that'd be helpful. Thanks for your time. What is the most expensive commodity? Time. In the West. Let's not be too busy for mission, guys. God's wanting to bear fruit in our lives every day and release people from what they're in and give them something very different. So we just talked about the hostility of the world. The motivation of the world's hatred is actually we don't understand it, so we hate it. Not the greatest motivation. But we have the Holy Spirit's work. He's doing what he's doing. He's helping us as saints to realize, to understand, to pray sometimes, even to pray sometimes hard. The Holy Spirit's helping us. He's causing us to draw. He's reminding us of the Word of God. He's reminding God, reminding us of who we are in Christ. He's reminding us of everything that needs to take place that he's doing when we've forgotten about. The good news is we're pruned for a purpose. So when you come to God and you open his word as we are today and things get pruned in our hearts, it's like, oh, I feel like things are being cleared out. God's making space for himself. God wants his life to have a flow. We can actually receive that joyfully going, this has purpose. When this branch was pruned, I think in September, maybe September, and my son pruned it. So for those of you who have been in messages, he prunes heavily. The reality of that is it was pruned and now it's bearing fruit. It's not that long. But if I was to say to my 10-year-old, you're going to have to wait 6 months, that's an eternity. And some of you may even be like 10-year-olds, I don't know. But it's like eternity. God, I can't wait that long. He's like, love's on the way, don't worry about it. I'm going to deliver this, I'm going to deliver the fruit of the Spirit. So we get to prepare our hearts. God, I'm ready for your pruning. I mean, imagine the delight he must think at the branch that comes to him and says, I've done this a few times. Let's just go for it. To the new branch that's for the first time coming going, What's going on here? What are we doing? I thought Jesus loved me. You know, the Father does love you. He wants to clear out the things that are not there so you receive everything that God wants for your life and make you fruitful. It can start today, friends. It's so good. But as we look at these things, we're actually saying, okay, God, this is where I'm going to come to the land. But God, what are you saying? Okay, my new picture is when I'm unified with you, when I'm in union with you, I have harmony, I have peace, I have joy. But it means embracing a fruitful dependence on Christ. That means to live conscious of our reliance on Jesus' word. I remember about 26, 27 saying to, who's 26 or 27 in this room? Not quite there. Some people have an aspirational understanding of that. Right? So, like, when I was about that age, I said, God, I want to live conscious of you more often. That was my prayer. I just want to be conscious of you. Man, does he answer that prayer. Do you know how much he enjoys us giving our conscious reality to him? I want to be more conscious of you and what you're doing and how you're doing it. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit's there and he's like, I'll help. The Father's there. He's like, yeah, I'm on that. Jesus is like, that's what I died for, that you would understand the reality of that consciousness all the time that I have with my Father and you have with one another. And suddenly you become more conscious of him. You become more conscious of other people. I can't walk into a bus, a plane, or a train and not be aware of 360 degrees of what's going on. If you're a spy or a Jason Bourne, you'd probably be, you know, trained in that way. I wasn't. I just cannot not be aware of it. The proximity of people becomes clear. The purpose of Jesus becomes simpler. And we can still be selfish. We can still be withdrawn. We can still try and pull back from that. But I'm saying to you guys, it's amazing to live when you're embracing this fruitful dependence on Christ and say, pray this prayer. I want to live conscious continually of my reliance on you, Jesus. But we also get to worship him. This abandoned moment. So instead of us being abandoned by everything and everyone who ever tried to promise something to us, we now say, you are the only one I'll give my life to. My life is worship to you. I'm becoming faithful in obedience to Christ. I just want to obey you. I know that the best thing I can do in my life is to respond to you. Live considering and receiving everything by faith. Oh, now I'm in Christ. I just want what he's got for me. The only way you get it is the same way that it came through, it's how salvation came to you, by faith in Christ alone. And the best part is we get to bear witness on mission. You get to bear witness to what he's done. When people say, wow, despite you going through that circumstance, that thing, because they always watch us when we're going through hard things, right? You stayed peaceful. You stayed calm. You might not have felt calm. You might not have felt peaceful, but they see the peace of God. They see the love of God. You kept loving people and you bear witness to what he's done. They see this fruit and they're like, that's the fruit of God. Wow. Could I have that? And instead of us saying, no, we don't hand it out. No, it's from Christ. Yes, of course you can have that. Come and find what God's doing. Imagine if it's a church. I could have wrote fruitful churches, but I wrote fruitful branches. Imagine is as a Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, gospel-advancing family, body, and army who love the way, truth, and life, bringing captives the gospel relief, refuge, and restoration by openly sharing faith, hope, and love they have received and now generously give that to others may have the same, that they may have the same opportunity. Imagine. If that's the flow. That's written in a flow for a reason, because I really believe that's how Jesus deposits it through our life. It's like, if you will be this, I will do this. Open up the gates. Let the King of Glory come in and deliver these things. So it's 11:21, so I've got to stop. But God's not stopping. God's only just begun. And I want to let him do what he's got to do. I've given you some things to think about this morning, some things to ruminate on, some things to ready yourself for. But you know, we have reminders around the room in communion. We have opportunities for prayer where you can come and actually stand alongside someone. I've got to pray that prayer. Maybe you're taking communion together today. You stand together, you take two or three people around you, you pull them together, and hey, what are you praying for? Maybe someone says, well, I'm just getting myself ready for pruning. You might say, oh, that's challenging. I'm going to another group. But God is actually wanting us to be serious with him today. Really, I believe this. As a church that's focused, that's been fasting, that's been reading, that God is wanting to, he's turned the tide. Things are happening differently. God is wanting to take center stage in our lives and in others. And it's time for us to respond as those who are so different that it delivers something unexpected into circumstances and engages people on the mission of our life. Amen. So, if we are made for mission and built to last, we are unified by him. And we get to unify with one another. There's a mutual bond.